You're listening to the Leaders of Transformation podcast, where difference makers and world changers come every day to be inspired, learn how to launch their initiative, and become a leader of transformation. Here's your host, transformational leader, speaker, and coach, Nicole Jansen.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Leaders of Transformation. Today's guest is going to share with us how to have greater happiness, not only greater happiness, but greater courage. I've invited Kathy Donovan to come and be with us here today. Kathy, welcome to Leaders of Transformation.
Hey, Nicole. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really looking forward to talking to you today.
Well, I'm looking forward to this as well. And I read through both of your books, and there is so much that you've packed into them. Thank you for not only writing them, but thank you for also sharing them with me and putting them. I can just think of all the people that I know are going to love to read them and to digest what you've shared there. And for our listeners, we've got a treat here today because we're going to unpack a little bit about what Kathy talks about in those books, what she teaches her clients, and I think it's going to be of great value. Now, before we go any further, those of you that are listening, welcome. We're excited to have you here. And thank you for taking your time to be here today. We're going to make sure it's a great show for you and it's well worth your time. Please do us a favor. If you like this show or any of the shows that you've listened to, because we've got over 100 interviews, podcast interviews that are up there already now on iTunes, please go to iTunes, subscribe, but also leave us a rating and review, because those ratings and reviews mean so much on iTunes to get us ranked higher on the list. And that just means more people get to hear this awesome information that we're sharing all around the world. So we've got listeners in 82 countries. We want to be able to double that. We want to be able to extend the message of hope and opportunity and encourage people to be leaders of transformation all around the world. So if you can do that, that would be super awesome. Thank you. And also find us on Facebook at Leaders of Transformation. Twitter, you can find us at Leaders Podcast. And go to our website, leadersoftransformation.com, and you can find all the show notes, all the links, everything that we talk about here with Kathy. We're going to make sure that we have it there for you as a reference tool. And so I encourage you to go and check that out. Now, coming back to Kathy, let me give you a little bit of a background on her and brag on her a little bit and her awesome books. So Kathy Donovan is an author. I already told you she's got two books. She's a speaker, she's a coach, she's a trainer, and she's a broadcaster. She's actually a fellow Canadian, which is super awesome. I love my fellow Canadians. She is a former co-host and co-producer of CTV Ottawa's Regional Contact. Her first book was written in 2013. She went back to back. 2013 was her first one with Inspiration and Action, A Woman's Guide to Happiness. And her second book, which we're going to talk quite a bit about today, is Unconform, Harnessing the Radical Power of Courage. Kathy, again, I'm excited to have you here. Let's dive right in. And we talk about happiness. We talk about courage. One of the things that as I was reading your books, there was something that really caught my attention. You have a quote in there, which I thought would be a great place to start. There is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. So what does that actually mean?
Well, it's a quote from a Buddhist monk named Thich Nhat Hanh. And he says that, you know, many of us think that happiness is our goal, right? We think we're going to be happy when, fill in the blank. You get the new job, the new house, the new car, the new guy, the new girl, the new haircut, lose 10 pounds, whatever it is. And Thich Nhat Hanh is saying that there is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. So when you choose happiness, and I guess then we have to define what that means, because to me, happiness is not dependent on anything outside of me. Happiness is a choice I make with the thoughts I choose to think. You know, Nicole, many people live in fear because something happens and they think, oh my goodness, what else could happen to me? And their life becomes kind of an avalanche of fear upon fear, and it prevents them from living fully. We are not in charge of the events that life presents to us. However, we're in charge of what we do and how we respond to life's events. So the thoughts we think about what happens to us really has an impact on the results we're going to get in our life. I hope I'm making sense.
Oh, absolutely. And I can just personally talk from my own experience and certainly working with clients. It's very common. In fact, right now, especially when you look at the news and it's feeding it, it's encouraging mm-hmm. people to hold on to that fear. And like you said, which is so accurate, that it's like this compounding or this domino effect, is that it's not just the fear of or the pain of what happened. It's, well, because this happened, then, well, what's coming next? And then it's like
right.
You've got this avalanche, as you said, and that's where it just takes you down. I've been there, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it's like, stop, wait a second. You know, what mm-hmm. was it? Mark Twain had this saying, something like, you know, the thousand things I worried about, none of them or very few of them actually came true, something like that. And it's, yeah. and I just, it stopped me in my tracks. And it's like, yeah, what am I afraid of?
You know, well, the question.
What am I spending my time on?
Exactly. What am I spending my time on? How am I investing in myself?
Yes.
Because if we consider that our thoughts are the only thing we have control over,
yes.
the only thing we have control over, even though what I call our thinking mind, Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor in her book, My Stroke of Insight, talks about the thinking mind, the busybody up in our head that's always reminding us of who we're not, what we haven't done, that we're not enough, that we can't have this or we don't have that. When that's running our lives and running our show, we will always be chasing what I call happiness. But in her book, My Stroke of Insight, she talks about the stroke that happened to her left brain function. In fact, it shut down. And in the left brain is where all of the details of life are stored. What day it is, what side of the road you should drive on, when your kids' birthdays are, where you work, that kind of thing. The stuff we need to function. And she said when that's not there, we're left in what she calls our right mind, which is that pure, perfect, in-the-momentness. And her whole message in that book, at least the one that I got, is that we need to manage the functioning of our left brain, that chitter-chatter, ongoing yagada-bagada-bigada-bagada-bugada-boo that's constantly running, manage it, and then spend more time in that pure, in-the-momentness, sort of nothingness, which is really, really difficult for us humans. I'm not saying stop thinking, because that's impossible. We can certainly give our mind something to focus on. And in meditation, often people use a mantra to give their mind something to focus on while they get quiet. So one of my whole things is asking people, if you want true happiness, you have to decide that you're in charge of your thoughts. You have to buy into that instead of being a victim of everything that pops up. And you raised an excellent example of how fear really is a controller. With this recent election in the United States, the new president, it's caused so much chaos for people. And there was a huge movement around the world on Saturday, January 21st, where women rose and stood up for what they're for, which is peace and love and harmony and human rights. And we are valuable and we're important and we matter. And to me, this situation has been a tremendous catalyst to get people to stand up for what they're for instead of what they're against.
Well, Mother that's Teresa. That's a really important piece, what you just said there, is mm-hmm. because, like, yes, there was the march that happened on Saturday. And it's important to stand, and not everybody did in that march, but that was the purpose of it, was to stand up for what you were for. And there's a big difference between standing for what you are for versus standing for what you're against. You were just going to say about Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
I think about the quote that she said, you know, if you're having a war, an anti-war rally, I'm not showing up. If you have mm-hmm. a peace rally, then mm-hmm. invite me, I'll be there.
Right. And there's a big difference in the energy of those two thoughts, isn't there? And I think that explains a lot of why these demonstrations were so peaceful, because people were standing for what they're for. And this, to me, is the call to action today for us as people, to ask ourselves, what can I do in my corner of the world to make a difference in the world with the gift that I've been given? I'm going to take charge of this situation and use my thoughts for good instead of my thoughts were not so good for me, because when we're a victim, quote unquote, victim of fear, we're constantly running in every direction. When we learn to take charge of our thoughts, invest in ourselves, notice the gifts that we have, learn to plug into our own inner knowing, that intuition we all have, that we're not sort of reinforced to believe is right because so much in the world is fed back to us that our happiness is outside of us. You know, marketing is king in North America. If we don't have a new car, a new job, a new phone, a new purse, a new mop, we're not quite enough. But we have to decide if we really want to be truly happy that we have enough wherever we are to learn to accept our lives the way they are right now. And to work from there with great courage to step into the truth of what do we really want then? If it's this way, what is it I really want? And start to focus our thoughts on what we want instead of what we don't want. So many people, you know, it was kind of a joke among a lot of spiritual teachers as the election was happening and as the results were announced, that people focused so much on what they didn't want, they manifested exactly what they didn't want.
Yes. Absolutely. It's everybody was focused. Well, that's a whole other, I mean, this is going to be a political talk, but it was just on both sides, focusing on what, you know, what we don't want, what we don't like. And so it became the lesser of the two evils for many people. I mean, I know that there was many people that voted in you know, specifically because of what they wanted to see happen and the change they wanted to see on both sides of the fence, so to speak. But you're right. I mean, that's why it got to the point where it's like, I can't even listen to this. This is just all so toxic. And it's interesting because I live in California, and over the last several days, I had, well, actually, it ended about Monday or Tuesday, but the last few days before that, I had this heartburn, and I was like, what is with this heartburn? I never get heartburn. And I looked it up online. I was like, what does heartburn relate to? You know, I know Louise Hay has this really great, you know, Heal Thyself app, and it was fear. And I went, where is this fear coming from? It's not mine. Mm-hmm. It's other people that is kind of like I've absorbed it. And so I literally had to do a detox just to get it out of my system. But I would love to go into a little bit more what you talked about, Dr. Jill Bolt Taylor's book. There is something that I read in your book you mentioned, which I thought was really interesting. The ego, or the storyteller, is always looking for one of three things. It's looking to want to be right, to feel special, or that it wants to feel miserable. So that sounds like, what? Why would we ever want to feel that way? So tell us a little bit about how that works, and then, of course, how do we turn that around?
Well, in this book, My Stroke of Insight, when her left brain hemorrhaged and so all the functioning shut down, she was, as I said earlier, left, she described it, being in her right mind, which is that pure in-the-momentness. And she talks about how the left brain is where all that functioning I described earlier, the filing systems we all need to have in order to function, be highly functioning human beings. But she says it's also where the ego resides, and she calls that the storyteller. And the ego is always looking for protection for us. So it wants to be right in any situation. It wants to feel special, or it wants to feel miserable, because regardless, it's always winning. And so you'll know when your ego is running you, if you're always feeling like you have to have the last word, or you need to be right about that situation, that person needs to be wrong. When you need to feel special, when you can't get enough of feeling special from everybody else, or when you thrive on feeling miserable. And we all know people who are in one of those three, sometimes all three categories. When we're not looking to win, to lose, or anything, when we're just learning, when we're just looking to express the gifts that we've been given so that we can serve in the world in a very positive and constructive way, our ego is tamed. And fear is the driver of the ego, right? So it's always looking for that type of attention. When we allow the ego to run us, we will never be happy. Because we'll always have to, as soon as we're right, then we have to be right again. As soon as we get that feeling special, we have to go and get more fuel for that because it worked. So it's a hunger that will never be satiated. And the truth is that when we dig underneath to take a look at who we really are, which is spiritual beings having a human experience, when we look at the spiritualness of ourselves as human beings and examine, what do I really want? And in my case, the answer is this. I want to feel abundant, beautiful. I want abundance, beauty, joy, love, peace, prosperity, and wellness. And so my thoughts, my words, and my actions have to line up with what I really want. And that is, I've taken charge of my thoughts. My ego is no longer running my show. I've decided what I really want through some investigation, and my words, actions, and deeds, how I conduct myself in business, align with what it is I really want, and so I create some pretty amazing results with that. But when we're focused on fear and we're allowing the ego to run us, there's always this dissatisfaction. You can never feel full. You can never feel fulfilled.
Got it. Well, thank you for that. And you know, you talk about in your book, it's a guide to happiness in the first book, and then we're going to talk about your second book in a moment. But you know, you talk about this inspiration and action, a woman's guide to happiness, which of course is not just for women. You happen to be a woman, so it applies to everybody. This works for everyone. You have some principles in there that you teach that, you know, presumably would lead to happiness. That's the idea, mm-hmm. right? So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you would recommend. So if our listeners are listening and they're saying, okay, you know what, that ego has been running the show for far mm-hmm. too long, and I want to have greater happiness in my life, how do they start?
Well, there's a great starting point. It's not hard. And the beauty about this is everything is easy. Once you understand this, this is easy stuff. It's accessible. You can start doing it right away in your car while you're driving home. Here's the first question. What are you grateful for today? And when you start to develop a habit of gratitude, I say you have to write it down until it becomes a habit and a focus for your thoughts. Because remember, what we're doing is we're taking charge of our thoughts and we're focusing them on what we want. So if you, like me, want abundance, you've got to focus on what you already have in order to be a match vibrationally for that to come to you. That's how the law of attraction works. The law of attraction states that what you focus your attention on is what expands in your life. So when you're focusing on abundance and what you're grateful for, you're an attraction for more to come to you. Gratitude is the bottom line of my life. And I have a couple of journals down in my bedside table with lots of lists in them that I would sit and write every night, five things I was grateful for. And at the end, I would say, thank you, thank you, thank you. So people say, well, I can do that in my car. Well, yeah, you can, but it becomes more powerful when you write it down. And then you can go back and look and see what you were grateful for last month, last year, and see how things evolve and shift. And you'll notice so much more to be grateful for in your life. So that's the bottom line principle. And I won't go into every principle in detail because we don't really have time here today. But I will say that the next principle that sort of grows from gratitude is courage. Because when we're grateful for what we have, even if you don't have a lot, as long as you have breath, you already have a lot to be grateful for. We forget that because our thinking mind, our ego is always looking, how can we have more? You don't have enough. You're not enough. You can't do that. When we start to focus on acceptance of what is, and then the courage to really examine, what do I really want? Then you get underneath the hood of what you think you want. Because what we think we want is a new house, a new job, a new car. What we really want is the feeling. We want to get to the feeling underneath. Because the fact is, that law of attraction is connecting with your feelings. So when we have feelings of lack of worthiness, which is a real common thing among people who live in fear, we don't feel worthy, so we're afraid, we're always operating that way. When we start to open up and use courage as kind of a power tool, we start to recognize what it is we really want, and then we open to receive more of that. Does this make sense so far?
Absolutely. And you talk about opening up that power. So let's talk about your second book, which is called Unconform, Harnessing the Radical Power of Courage. So you're talking about having that courage to be able to ask for what you want, believe it, and receive it. So let's talk about that a little bit. Why is it called Unconform?
Well, I wanted a word that would get people's attention. In fact, to be frank, Nicole, I thought I made the word up. I thought it was very clever until I researched it and then realized, no, it's actually a word, but we don't hear it very often. And so it did get people's attention. I'm not asking people to non-conform, in other words, to not do it the way people are telling you to do it. I'm calling it unconform because I want people to unplug from the conditioned thoughts and beliefs they've held about their lives and the results they get in their lives and plug into the inner knowing we all have. I want to encourage people to nurture that inner knowing, that what we call intuition, because we all have it. We're just not trained to use it or believe that it's true. And mainstream does not feed us back that it's okay to listen to your intuition. You're meant to listen to your parents or to listen to your teachers or to listen to your boss, not the inner knowing you have about what's right for you. Nobody, no matter how much they love you, knows what is exactly right for you. I'll give you a little example. When I was a young girl, my mother was a teacher. My mother had lost two babies, one at birth and one just after birth and one before birth. So she had a really tough time in life. She lived in a lot of fear. She was very afraid for me. I got that as a gift from my mother. I led with fear on every front. I was terrified all the time. She wanted me to be a secretary. Not that there's anything wrong with being a secretary, but it wasn't resonant with my gift as a communicator. I was born to do what I'm doing today, and I'm very clear about that now. So she would say to me, no, I want you to go to typing school, because back in the day, you know, manual typewriter. I want you to learn shorthand. I want you to go to secretarial school, and I just want you to feel safe. And to me, it was just not enough. So I have had to secretly, on my own, nurture my gift myself. So I feel I've always been an unconformist because I've always done it the way I needed to do it, not the way anybody else thought was the right answer for me. My mom, God love her, meant the best for me, but she wanted me to conform to her idea of what was right, not mine. So unconform means being different from, but truly plugging into the unlimited possibilities that exist for every single one of us.
Fantastic. Wow. And I love that story. I mean, how many of us have not, this fear has actually come as a result. We talked about earlier the avalanche of history, the avalanche of generation after generation of fear, that we're not only just even picking up our own fear, what the media is telling us today, we're picking up and can be conditioned by all of the previous generations' fear. And if we don't take control, what I was hearing in that is if we don't take control of it and choose, then we're just going to continue to pass that on to the next generation. And, you know, it's like at some point that avalanche just buries you. And so
right.
it's time for us to take that on. Now, in your book, you also talk about the con job. You alluded to it a little bit here, but I'd love for you to expand on that a bit.
Well, I think we've been conned. I really do. I refer to the con job as the conditioned beliefs and thoughts we all have about what's possible in our lives, about the results we deserve, about the type of person we should be with, about what we deserve. So the con job is that collective conditioning. A great example is where women find themselves. We've kind of created a conundrum for ourselves in many ways because we were conditioned to think, nobody actually said this out loud to us, that we have to take care of everybody else's needs before ours, that we have to do it all, have it all, you know, take care of it all. We don't. And yet, that's the conditioned belief that we held for a long time. That is not the truth. The truth is, if women don't take care of themselves first, they can't properly serve in the world. If you don't take care of yourself and you have a daughter, you're modeling for her what it looks like to be a woman, to be unhappy or happy or whatever you're doing. So I feel the con job is a thread through all of our lives, men and women, whatever you've been conned into thinking you had to do. If it isn't resonant with how you feel about what's going on in your life, if you feel you've got this other knowing about how you want to live, you know, so many people have trouble admitting they're gay. We've got that problem. This is because we've all been conditioned to think there's something wrong with that. It's completely kooky to me. Or that divorce is bad. I mean, these are just things that happen to people. It happens. And the question for me is not why is it happening to me, but what can I learn from this situation? Because, Nicole, I firmly believe that the purpose of our life is to heal our past and to learn and grow for as long as we're here on the earth. There's no end point. There's no stop learning now. It's like this is a beautiful flower constantly unfolding. That's the gift that we've been given of this life experience. So when we unplug from the con job and plug into our true knowing and intuition, we have to make changes. I've had to shift friendships, move the boundary in my relationships around because certain relationships no longer were resonant with what I was feeling about my life when I unplugged from what was for me the con job. But what happened is I moved that boundary in those relationships to make way for more resonant relationships that actually serve where I am today.
Well, so you talk about some of the shifts that you've had to make in your own life, and there's so much that we can unpack there. Thank you for sharing. You talk about beliefs, and it's funny because when I was watching the movie The Matrix, you know, it's like unplug from the Matrix and go into, you know, basically you're free from the Matrix. I believe that we're always in a Matrix. We just... It's one that we choose because we don't ever eliminate our beliefs. We go from one set of beliefs to another set of beliefs. We transform it, but it's never really out there in the ether. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Great insights there. Now, time is flying by. We could spend so much time here. I know I'm past this, Kathy, but I do want to ask you, what is the most courageous thing that you've ever done in your life?
Oh boy, oh boy. I'm so courageous, Nicole. It's kooky because I won't go into detail, but I was that little kid who wet her pants and wet the bed until I was into my teens. And I'm that little kid who didn't want to be seen or heard. I'm that little kid who was terrified of everything. And today I am a very courageous person. But I will say, I think probably the most courageous thing I've done is twofold. Number one, leave a fantastic job with a reputable television company, a job I loved, to pursue changing the world. This is my mission. I'm on a mission now to help our world evolve in the direction of more good, more kind, more positive, and more courage. And so of that, I think the most courageous thing I did was to write my first book, to write it, to publish it myself, to promote it, and to create a new career for myself as a speaker, presenter, trainer, coach, and broadcaster as well. Because who knew what was going to happen when I stepped outside the paradigm that was acceptable and where I had built my reputation and step into this unknown space. And I'm telling you, it's what they say. You have to leap before the parachute comes up. And I have found that there is so much support for courageous people when we step away and tame our fear that that's the driving force for me now. Courage really is the underpinning, as well as gratitude, the underpinning of my life. And, my job is to walk the walk. I do talk for a living, but I also have to walk the walk. And I love that other women see me stepping out, doing things that, you know, might inspire them to do something in their lives. So that's probably the greatest reward coming back, is being able to serve people and help them shift what they don't want out so that they can create space for what they really want.
Well, and I've heard the stories of the ladies that you have impacted their lives in significant ways, and so you're definitely doing that. So thank you for being such an inspiration. And so your books, how do our listeners who are listening out there and saying, okay, this is great, Kathy, I want to be more courageous, I want to have this happiness, where do they find your books, where do they find you?
Well, books are a great place to start. If that's something that resonates with people, visit my website, kathydonovan.com, kathiedonovan.com, and I can send the books to you. My books are available in bookstores just locally here in Ottawa for now, so I'm working on world domination one step at a time. So really that's the best way. And then I do public speaking and training. I'm doing corporate training now, which is awesome because I've seen now how some really enlightened executives are getting that you can't do enough professional development to satisfy your staff, because what they really need is personal development. And when you try to hammer them over the head with more professional stuff, really you're missing the bottom line. We need to shift things from the underpinning in order to create really healthy, positive work environments that come from the employees out, you know, not from management down. People have to feel good. And when people feel good, you get a very different result in the workplace. And that's part of my mission, is to help create more positive work culture and to encourage people to take ownership and responsibility for themselves and be a leader. Every single one of us is a leader in some way wherever we spend our time. So that's kind of my mission too.
Well, and I can tell you're excited about it. You're passionate about it, which is awesome, because that's contagious. And
yes.
I love it. And you know what? We're very aligned in that, because I believe in, you know, in transforming the marketplace is like the starting point to transforming the world, because everybody is impacted or in the marketplace, whether you have a job or whether you're unemployed or whether you have a business, it doesn't matter. Everybody is impacted by the marketplace as a consumer, as an employee, or as an employer. So that's a great place to start and to start building relationships and stop, yeah, like you said, beating them over the head with skills and strategies when, you know, really it's about responsibility. It's about being a leader of their own lives and then being able to lead others. So excellent, excellent stuff. Kathy, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your passion, your insights, your experience with us. It's been such a pleasure. And I know that our listeners are going to enjoy listening to this, but not only that, is getting your books and reaching out to you. I would encourage you, if you're listening out there, get a copy of these books. I've been through both of them, fantastic books. And I also love the fact that, Kathy, you said, you know, I'm getting these books out to people because I want to make a difference. It's not about, you know, just being able to sell a book. It's about being able to empower others. And that's what it's all about for you. So, Kathy, thank you for that.
It's my pleasure, Nicole. And, you know, kudos to you. Congratulations on the great work you're doing. You know, I'm committed to changing the world, and I feel so honored to connect with someone else who's on the same mission. So thank you for your time.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And thank you for listening. Those of you that are listening out there, perhaps on your drive to work, or maybe you're doing some work around the house or whatever, you're listening to this. I hope that this conversation that we had with Kathy Donovan has inspired you, that has given you some tools to be able to have greater happiness in your life right now, right here in the moment. Not one day, not someday, not when this happens, I'll be happy, but to be able to realize you can be happy right where you are right now and choose to be happy, and to be able to be courageous to go out and ask for what you want and then take the actions to make it happen and to be able to bring that into your life. And so I am grateful that you're here. I would encourage you to go to the Leaders of Transformation. We'll have a complete review and recap on the show notes. I will have all the links to Kathy's website and what some of the books that she's referenced. We'll list that all out for you. And again, if you like this, you enjoyed it, you got some benefit from it, please go to iTunes, subscribe, and leave us a rating and review. We really appreciate it. Also, find us on Facebook and Twitter. Love to hear from you and what this has done for you, what you're learning, how it's impacting you in your life. And I look forward to seeing you and hearing and having you on the next episode of Leaders of Transformation real soon. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. Head over to leadersoftransformation.com for full recaps of every show, our valuable resources, and our blog, all designed to support you in becoming the difference maker and world changer you were born to be. See you next time.